This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 216, and it is Monday, July 8th, 2019. Hello and welcome back to the show, everybody. It's the Boop Show. I'm Scott. He's Brian. Good morning, Brian. Afternoon, I mean.
Good morning, January, man.
Evening. I can't get anything right today.
Wow. January to July, morning to night. Scott's in the upside down. If you just only have watched that season two of Netflix's Stranger Things.
Does Barb make a return in season two?
Is Barb dead? Okay, I'll spoil it for season two. No, she does not.
Okay, fair enough. That's all I needed to know.
But it's a shame.
It's a shame. She should have. Poor Barb. She's a shame. Hey, everybody. It's time for another show. We're going to talk about video games. We've got stuff to discuss, part of which you and I played together, which I'm excited to talk about. So we'll get to all that in a minute. Before we do, though, a reminder that if you're like, man, I really wish there were more friends I could communicate with about video games, I have some great news for you because we have a Discord, and it's linked on our website at frogpants.com/BOOP. If you go click on that, you can get in. It's a permanent link, so that's, you know, whoever wants in can get in. Join the discussion. Have the fun. It's a nice little burgeoning community, and I think you'd have a great time in there. All right.
I hang out there.
Do you?
Yeah.
With your wiener? No, that's not true. Not at all.
No, I did. Weird, because I did post a dancing wiener pic a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
but that's
my.
Neither here nor there. That's a hot dog wiener.
Well, that's definitely there. It's not here, but it is there.
Right. That must have been last week, because I was all excited about hot dogs.
Wait a minute, you said hot dog. Because of the 4th of July, yeah.
4th of July, that's right.
Yeah. You know what I like? A good beef. I like a good beef dog.
Beef dog.
I'll take that over the pork stuff. And I know they're probably still weird stuff in pork, in beef dogs, but I think you're going to have less chance of like pig snouts and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, well, the very definition of a dog is to throw everything in there, right? You just, whatever animal you've went with, whatever animal you've spun the meat wheel on and went, it's going to be pork. Nope. Chicken. Nope. How about some beef? And you just stick whatever you got in there, what's left over of the animal parts, right?
Yeah, I think some of the beef
I
is
like
just
the chicken weenies.
Oh, chicken weenies. Tell me about these. How can I get these?
Oh, you've never had chicken weenies? No. Oh, Galtry's makes some excellent 99-cent for eight chicken weenies.
Wait, who's Galtry's? Never heard of that.
Galtry. You got to say it right because you in the South, boy.
Is that a store? Is that a restaurant? What is that? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I just know it's the cheapest chicken weenie you can buy. And if you need to serve a lot of people, that's what you go for.
It's the cheapest chicken weenie money can buy. All right.
That's right.
You've convinced me. I want it. I want it now.
Mm-mm.
Here's this little thing. Time for games. Let's talk about my first game this week that I'm going to recommend, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't sure if I was going to recommend it, but I am now. After messing with it a little bit, I've come to the conclusion that I think it's pretty good, despite some of the misgivings I had seen regarding its launch. However, I'm going to say thumbs up to Jurassic World Evolution. I got it on sale on the PC. As you may be aware, the PC has a bunch of video games you can get. And
on the Steam sales last week on the 4th of July, Independence Week for us people. And some of these sales are still going on. You can still pick up Jurassic World Evolution for $13.49 on the Steam store.
Yeah, it's cheap. And I was directed to do it by a friend of the program, Garrett Weinzerl. He was sure I'd like it because I like city builders. I like park simulators. I like tycoon games. And this is, a lot of those things sort of mixed in.
All right. Well, I'm very tempted. You have 15 minutes. Go sell me on this game before you're done. I'm going to buy it.
Let's see. What I like about those kinds of games is I don't like the ones that are super stressful, that have a lot of accidents or weird storms that tear everything to pieces, or timers, or any of that stuff, or over management. I don't want to worry about 1,000 different things, including the politics of my city, as much as I just want to make a nice layout. I want to produce a decent thing. I want to kind of zen out to these kinds of games. Those are my preferred of this type of game. All right?
Right.
And as it turns out, Jurassic World Evolution is that.
How do you feel about the dino DNA in that game? Does it jive?
It's fine. You send expeditions out. This helicopter takes off from this building you make. You send out the expeditions, and the expedition helicopter people go find dig sites around the world, and they're on this map. So you just say, all right, well, it looks like this site has some bones from various dinosaurs. Also, maybe some, what do they call that? Amber, you know, with the bugs trapped in the amber. There's some of that. You don't know what it is until they're going to go do the dig. But when they come back, it notifies you. You go to the research building, and it's like, oh, all right, we got a 35% DNA match for Stegosaurus or something.
Right.
And so you research that, and it's good because when you research it, it adds to the likelihood that when you go make one of those again, that they're going to be healthy and a good specimen and they'll survive. Otherwise, there's the lower the percentage, obviously, the higher percentage of you losing the animal. And so you want to always try to beef that stuff up when you can. And the way you do that is researching these fossils and stuff like that. They come in different rarities. So some of the fossils are going to be like a 1-star fossil. Some are like 3 or 4 stars, and those are the better ones. So you're always trying to get more of those. So I'm always sending my expedition crew out to get stuff and then researching. And if it's one that's really low or I already have enough of, or sometimes they're just items like a rock with a weird fossil that we're not going to extract anything from, you can just sell those for money. Like those get sold to museums or whatever. And you make cash from those. So as you may have figured out, it takes money to run your park, and you're always generating it via different things like selling that stuff. But also the people that come to the park to check everything out, they're spending money there. And at first they're just kind of coming to see the fenced in sort of zone and see the stuff running around. But eventually you want to add all the park amenities that you would normally add to a park like this. And that's restaurants and, you know, place to buy stuff. So you kind of go full park tycoon at that point. There are ways to make it harder so that you do always have the risks of super aggressive dinosaurs, or your dinosaurs have diseases and they're passing them around too much, or, you know, you can make it harder on yourself if you want to. But I really like the sort of chill default approach to the game, which isn't about emergencies and people dying. It's about, we've learned from all that, let's make a cool park.
So that's what I'm thinking. So is that actually a mode? Is like a Minecraft creative versus survival mode, or is it just you can set it easy, hard?
There's an island. So in the campaign that I'm in right now, eventually I will unlock the original Jurassic Park island. What was it called?
That's awesome.
Whatever it is. That thing gets unlocked, and then that is a sandbox island if you ever want to go there and just play.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Oh, I like that idea. So how many nods is this more nods towards the idea of Jurassic World, or is this a heavy nod to the movies where we kind of get like a faux kind of characters in there?
It's tied to the movies for sure. And they got, what's his name? Dr. Malcolm.
Chris. Not Chris Pratt.
No, Chris Pratt's character is in it, but it's not him voicing it. It's super annoying, actually.
But it looks like a dude that would be Chris Pratt.
Well, he is literally the photo of Chris Pratt. So it's the actual Chris Pratt face and likeness. Same with all the characters from the movies, including Jeff Goldblum, except they got Jeff Goldblum to do it, which is kind of great. So he narrates a lot of this stuff.
Why would you not? I think that Jeff Goldblum sits by the phone and just goes, I'll do some Jurassic Park stuff. What do you?
Did you think when you were, have dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour? Yeah, like he's perfect, and he's really good in this, and he's always being very cautious. Like,
great.
Hammond never learned from the thing. You should not do that or whatever. But really, the game is just like look, we're way down the road. We've learned from all these mistakes and all these disasters. We can just make it a freaking park. If you want to be all disaster-y, you can do stuff in the options that can make your life hard, but that's not why I play this game.
Right.
It's really pretty, too. It's a beautiful game that you can zoom right up into and be in that, you know, in any one dinosaur's face and watch him eat and, you know, fight or whatever. And you can zoom way out in God mode.
In your face right now, Mr. Dino. In your face.
You can get all, you know, 300 feet in the air, just like a normal God game type thing. And
right.
Expand and grow and blah, blah, blah. And you also go to those other islands, which is kind of cool. So, what was I going to say?
So, okay. So, I got to ask, what makes me want this more than Parkasaurus?
What is Parkasaurus? I don't know what that is.
Parkasaurus is also a game, very positively, overwhelmingly positive last year. A little more cartoony, but essentially a zany dinosaur park management game.
I've not heard of Parkasaurus. Is that on Steam? Is that a PC
game? It is
game?
On Steam. It was released late in 2018.
Oh, that's the cartoon. Okay, I know which one that is. I'm sure that game's fine. If you're okay, that's a great question. If I'm going to recommend this, it's based on a couple of things. If you really like the films and the music and the kind of Jurassic Park, the whole Jurassic Park thing.
The vibe.
It's got that vibe. It's really got the vibe. When you accomplish big things, you get John Williams music that's super crescendo-y and all that. Like, it's very, hey, are you a fan of Jurassic Park? I've got good news for you, because this thing's Jurassic Park as hell. So there's a lot of that going on. I also just think graphically it's really impressive. And here's my favorite bit. So I'm tooling around. I got a bunch of dinosaurs. They exist. They're happily doing their job. And I go and I build a ranger building, a building for dudes that, you know, that go around the park and tool around and look for problems.
For Chris Pratt, yeah.
Yeah, for the Chris Pratt types, yeah. They'll have Jeeps and stuff like that. So I build that thing, and it lets me hire rangers and that sort of stuff. So I had to hire a ranger, and I just figured that would be like a little NPC type unit that would just go do stuff, you know, like, oh, we got a problem with one of the stegosauruses, go out and fix it. I don't know why I keep saying stegosaurus, but whatever.
I like stegosauruses. Aren't they the ones who that took the poop? No, that was a triceratops.
That was triceratops. And you have those too. I spent way too much money on triceratops. I bought like four of them, and they're just everywhere, all over my camp.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, I get this message that says, hey, one of the triceratops is sick. We need to send a ranger out there to fix it. Please do that. And so I went to go deploy the ranger thinking that's all I had to do and it would just take care of itself and it would be kind of a either behind the scenes or a little tiny car or whatever. Nope.
You come back and go, job done. He's good.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen. Instead, I'm in the Jeep. I'm driving the Jeep.
Wait, I didn't sign up for this.
And I go in the Jeep and I pull up to where the sick thing is. I chase it down. And I go into aim mode and I pull up a freaking dart gun.
Right.
And I have to shoot. I have to aim and actually shoot. And it has physics and like an arc. And if you don't aim high enough, it'll go too low and hit the rim.
So like a little mini game.
Yeah, like a shooting game. And I'm right there in it. I'm in the grass. I'm in the weeds. I'm in the jungle. And I'm, you know, sniping this thing. And this dinosaur's running from me because he doesn't want to be shot, obviously. And I'm trying to drive through this space with a bunch of other dinosaurs and not hit any of them. They're all plant-based or they're all plant eaters. So it's not a big deal, but just trying to be careful and hit him. And then when I'm done, I can just escape out of it. The camera zooms out and now I've accomplished the goal I had and the Jeep will drive itself back to the base. It's cool. It's a
that
cool
actually,
game.
You're making me get inch closer to this add to cart. Now I need to know, do I need the deluxe edition for an extra $4?
No. Although, well, I don't, does that include, so there's some new DLC that I haven't touched and I don't know what that's like yet. And maybe that includes that. If it does, maybe you want that. I don't know. Do you want that? Do you want DLC?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. It doesn't really say. It just says it's almost exact same description. Take charge of the Operation Legendary Islands of... Maybe it's some DLC.
You do get to dig through by Dinosaur Poo chat room, someone asked.
Oh, Dinosaur Poo.
I had to do some quest. And there's quests. You know, do this, acquire this, do whatever. And then you pass that and you get more quests and stuff. And you're trying to earn money. What's his name? Who's the act? Who's the Asian actor that plays in the old movie? He was in charge of the research center, and the newer stuff. He's kind of evil now. What's his name?
Right.
Wong. BD Wong. BD Wong.
Ah, that's it.
Is that the character? That's the actor's name, I think, is BD Wong. Anyway.
Right.
His face is in this. A guy who sounds a lot like him is in this. And he may be bad. I can't tell. It's hard to say because he was in the movies. I don't know why he's in this. Well, I didn't see the last movie, so I can't really speak to that. But that last movie apparently was really bad.
So, well, I didn't see it, so I can't say.
Did you? I mean, did you want to see it? Do you want to see it?
It's still on my list.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But you know what else? I mean, you can have a lot of dumb stuff on your list.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I liked Jurassic World. It's all right.
Yeah. It's all right. I thought World was fine. This last one, wasn't my bag. Or I just didn't see it, so I can't say.
Right.
I just remember everyone complaining. I was like, well, I'm not going to see it, I guess.
I have some of the stupidest reasons for not going to see stuff, and I'll tell you what it was.
Mm.
In the first one, they feature prominently in the advertising a habit trail ball.
Oh,
and
right.
I was turned off by that. And when I saw they put it in the second one too, I was like, I just don't know. I don't know. I took a chance in the first one, but this is kind of rough.
Well, they have those balls in this, so enjoy.
I know they do. They had the balls in this. Great.
Yeah, your favorite thing is in this game.
Oh, why does that make me so angry? It's so stupid.
I don't know why. It shouldn't make you so angry. It should be fine.
It should be totally cool. So I gotta make a decision. So I like it.
I would really recommend it. If people are into it, I think it's a good buy.
Parkasaurus Rex is $20, or I can get the Jurassic World, which kind of worries me a little bit because this game just came out on June the 12th. And no, I'm sorry, that was last year. Okay, so I'm not worried now. Okay.
Yeah,
it was $44.99.
Yeah, it's expensive normally. Like, yeah. This sale is a good sale. And that all ends, like, in the next day or so or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it ends in 19 hours. So if you're listening to this post 19 hours from now, tough luck, buddy.
Yeah. Listen to the show sooner than 19 hours.
You should listen to it live.
Lazy sacks.
Lazy potato sacks.
All right, well, that's my first game, and I do recommend it, especially at that price. Would I recommend it at 44? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. There's probably other cheaper experiences that will scratch the itch, but as a on-sale thing on the Steam sale at that price, 16, was it 16? 13, what is it?
13. Yeah, 13? If you just get the basic Jurassic World Evolution,
yeah,
it is
stupid cheap.
$13.49.
Yeah.
$13.49.
I feel like you could do a lot worse than that. So get on it. All right, Brian, tell me about the Boop Coop. No, let's talk about our co-op games that we played because that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought we'd need to drop that in real quick. Me and Scott, and I'll let you pick up where I leave off. But Coop Boop, that was just me and Scott. We on 4th of July, we both were hanging out and playing a little bit of Super Animal Royale.
Yep.
And Ultimate Chicken Horse.
Yes.
And we had a good old time. We spent a good couple of hours out there instead of out in the heat. We stayed inside and we had some good times. And I'll tell you, my biggest joy of the day was when someone in the chat room told us there was a USA code to redeem some special wear for our Super Animal Royale. And we got a very patriotic hat, bat, and jacket.
Yeah, hat, back, and jacket.
Hat, back, and jacket.
It's great.
Hat with jackets.
Yeah.
And my favorite part, though, I think, was the part where Scott realized he wanted to order something online during the middle of our session and went ahead and put that on screen. That was great.
Doxed myself.
Doxed yourself right up there. So what did you think about those? Like the Super Animal Royale is pretty basic. It's just some cartoon looking characters that we play as. It's a battle royale, just like you think. And me and Scott teamed up, which is the only mode you have right now, is either single mode or duos, right?
Yeah.
They have
they've got a squad thing coming, but it's not done yet.
Right.
I thought it was a really fun time. I'd played this game a couple of times before, but I hadn't really played as a team, so that was even better. But
yeah,
I think that is my favorite battle royale, which may seem weird to say because I know everyone wants to play the shooters and the whatnot, but this is way more my bag. I really like how it feels and plays. It's fun.
It's a real jump in and jump out kind of game. I mean, we easily could have just jumped in, played for 15-20 minutes and jumped out and been just fine. I mean, there's no big investment, but it is a lot of fun. I tell you, it's it felt good. I don't know if me and Scott just were jiving that day, but we did pretty good.
Yeah. We kicked butt. We got second place, as high as we got. Did all right. You can play with a controller. Brian played with a controller. You can play with a mouse and keyboard, which I found to be, usually I don't, but I found it to be easier in this case. I think they just haven't optimized for controller yet.
Right.
But it's a really fun, fast get in, like you said, get out, have a good time, laugh real hard kind of game. And I like just the simplicity of the top down. Okay, for those at home who are just listening to this, the look of it is like, hey, what if Animal Crossing let you shoot guns at each other? It's kind of that.
Exactly.
It's a very cutesy thing, but then you got AK-47s and grenades and, you know, you could do violent things to each other as animals. And it's got a growing community, plenty of people in there. We were able to get in and out of games just constantly, so it was never like a big long wait or anything. They have weapon rarity. The way people probably say, wait, how do you pay for this thing? They have a free version, which lets you kind of have access to the game, but you can't really do much with skins or characters or any of the other stuff like that. You pay $10 for the game in full, and that gives you kind of access to everything. Plus, you still have a bunch of unlocks you can do. So they have kind of a battle pass-ish idea that works pretty well. But in terms of just like raw, fun, stupid gameplay, this game is a good time.
It really is, and it's not too expensive, but it be aware that it is a very shallow gameplay. Even if you purchase, it is you're not going to get way deep in there. It's fun to unlock some costumes and stuff, but I don't think you're going to get too far down in there.
Well, but, as far as progression goes, but I would argue that the game itself has all kinds of nuance, like you how you actually play it and what makes a player better. I don't think it's any different than any other game. Skill, you know.
Is it still considered beta? Because I don't think I'll really be able to fully experience it until I get an idea. Since there's no squad mode yet, it makes me think they haven't quite implemented all the features yet.
As far as I know, it's still in, I guess, early access mode.
Right.
I don't know for sure on that. I think that's correct. So squad mode's coming. That means you and three of your friends can get in there and do their business. That sounds like a lot of fun, too, but I don't know, man. Now like when it comes to battle royales, I'd rather do this. So, guess, you know, sue me. This and that Tetris 99 thing on the Switch are my two favorite battle royales, I think.
Yeah, I love that. And I'll tell you what, the biggest surprise for me was I've owned this game for a while, Ultimate Chicken Horse. Yeah. And it was suggested while we were playing Super Animal Royale that we try out Ultimate Chicken Horse. And we both had it. And so we just loaded it up. And now that game. That game is awesome. Is a mind blower for me.
It's so good, dude. Oh my gosh. Which,
now you compared it to Mario Maker, right?
A little bit, but then my opinion of that changed because I thought what you were going to, you know, the people could do is build, you know, big complex levels out of all these items, and you really can't. It's about real-time building. So when you play a game, you pick your character, it could be that chicken, it could be the horse, it could be the lamb or the what's the other one?
There was me and you did the chicken horse because that made sense.
Yeah, I was chicken. I was chicken. You were horse. Oh, the right. Raccoon. That's who it is.
Oh, the raccoon. That's right.
Anyway, it's super. It's like really interesting style, like very sketchy art style for the characters and the items in the game. You go into what is basically an empty level or, you know, something with very basic geometry. And the goal is you got to get from this side to the other side. Imagine a building, that's the starting point, and then on this other side is another building, and between you and that building is death. If you jumped off, you'd just die. But between rounds, you get items that you can start sticking around the place, and that can be blocks, it can be conveyor belts, it can be traps, it can be
steps. All kinds of bombs, fans, arrows.
A little bit of grease to stick on something to make it slippery. So then you can start sabotaging the players and maybe yourself by putting some of these things in the place of, and every round that ends, whether there's a score or not, everybody gets new things in the box. And then they take those box items in their box out and they start laying out new items. And it is kind of insane.
It's very customizable too. You can start your own games based on your own rules. There's a whole rule set that allows you to do all kinds of stuff. We found early on that we were cheating somewhat by using double jump. Made it way too easy.
Yeah, way too
easy. By the
way,
this game was suggested to us by Monkey Bananas, who is a frequent chatter here and a great friend to the show. Also on our Discord channel, always in there giving us great, great stuff. joined us for a couple of rounds and decimated me, at least.
Oh, I didn't do very good either. I mean, I did better later. I got better as we went on, but the game is insane. They have these coins you can put around that'll make it so you get more points, which may help make up for...
Yes, because there's a couple ways to win. You have to make it to the end. First, you got to get there first. Secondly, you got to get coins. That can affect your final score as well. And there's several different ways that you can kind of manipulate your little path to victory.
Yep.
Each round. And also, Idabloke mentioned in the chat room that it has a Twitch integration, which we mess with near the end of the show, which allows people in the Twitch chats to watch us and to interact and give us objects that we can use.
Yeah, and we use the object, it'll thank the person who suggested it in the chat. It's pretty well integrated. It's cool.
Yeah. A lot of fun. It's been around for a while. I'm sure we're not, but I loved it. I thought it was great.
Oh, it's so much fun. I never knew this existed, and I had it in my library this whole time and had no idea. So
yeah
that shows how dumb I am. But there are people playing it. When we got in and had an open room, people are trying to jump in. So if you're looking for just randos, they seem to be out there.
Just a bunch of randos, man.
But man, this idea of like helping build out a level together in real time that's meant to kill everybody.
Right.
You sometimes die on your own shit.
Yeah, you totally do. And sometimes, lots of times, and it's a little bit of strategy. It's like board games where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to try to sabotage the person to my right. Mm-hmm. And then you end up sabotaging either the person to your left or yourself. And it's like, dang it.
Yep.
Why?
Yep. And I should say this, if there's something you just really screwed yourself with, the box often contains explosives and you can use those to blow up objects that have been placed in the game. Some have an area of effect, so you can kill two or three objects at once if you want before the next round starts. And there's a timer on this placement stage, so you can't just dink around forever.
Right.
It's a neat idea. I'd never seen anything quite like it. Never seen anything quite like it. It's a trip. I do wish it had a mode where you could just make big, long, scrolling, single-player platform levels, like Mario Maker style, creation.
Right. Oh, you should tell us. That'd be a good time to talk about Super Mario Maker.
Oh yeah, you want to hear about that? I've been playing that more.
I want to hear it because I want to get it, and you're tempting me, and I obtained.
Yeah, what do you got there? You got the Switch right there in your hand.
I got the Switch. Oh, there's games on sale. Hold on a second. I gotta go.
They always got something on sale in there. So I been playing a bunch more of that. I know we talked about it last week, but I may as well bring this up again. I did a little stream right before the show tonight and just did a bunch of random levels. Some people came into the chat room with their own levels and said, here's my code, give it a shot. So I ran a bunch of those, found some really cool, what they call auto levels. These existed in the Wii U game as well, but I never played that one. So these were new to me, but basically it's a map where you don't do anything. In fact, if you touch the controller, you're screwed. So you just let it happen and objects in the game just push you through these nightmare scenarios that somehow you survive and you win the whole thing without ever touching it. Those are really creative. There's a lot of things like that. There's also music levels where you can basically make your own songs using the objects in the game. I don't even know how you do that. It's nuts. But then I played some just regular old hard levels, some easy levels. And I just really find everything about that thing just delightful. I wish there was a way to tell when a level was going to be trolly or not, because sometimes they're really trolly. Right. Even though you, in theory or technically, every level has to be completable or else you can't post it. And so you have to be able to have it show that it's completable. There can't be a wall that's impenetrable or any of that. But what happens is players get really creative about how they throw you into a, a loop of you don't know where the way to get out of here is, or lots of hidden blocks. Hidden blocks are the bane of my life. It's really cool, though, and I want to start making my own stuff. I just haven't had time to really dig in there, but continually putting time into Super Mario Maker 2.
Super Mario Maker.
Tell me about Hugh.
Well, Hugh... Hey, you should play Hugh, H-U-E, as in the color. The color, how would you define Hugh as that? Whatever. Anyway, the game is a puzzle adventure. And I think it's got a good bit of platforming in it as well. So this game is got a very simple silhouetted look. And the reason why is because in the background of this game, are large swaths of cloud in space that, as you collect colors in this game, unlocking them, you are going to unlock a color wheel. You can choose what the background color is in the world. That is important because in order to solve most of these puzzles, you have to set the background as a particular color to make objects disappear that are in your way. Sometimes you want to make them appear and you need to move them about the screen. The story behind is pretty fun. It's pretty sweet. It's told through a mother to Hugh, your Hugh. And the mother, she is guiding you along your journey because she has disappeared. So she is in the upside down end of sorts. She has her and Dr. Gray, as she tells you in the story, were working towards finding a super colors. I don't think she calls them super colors, but something like that, super colors. And as a result, she has gotten stuck in this outside the visual scope of the creatures in this game. So they can't see her no more. She disappeared. So she's communicating that way through a typewriter, leaving you notes, and you're trying to solve the mystery of what happened to Ma with this color mechanic, which is a lot of fun in this game.
It seems like this would be better on a controller to me.
Absolutely. I played this with a controller. I played it on the Xbox Game Pass. It was free there. You can pick it up on Steam for like $3.74. It's always on sale. Even at the most, it's like $15. It is a great, fun game. I saw this a long time ago. I've been kind of thinking about playing it for a while, but I wasn't sure if I really wanted to play a puzzle game at the time. But when the time came, I'm like, I want to play a puzzle game. This is the one I went to.
He looks like Limbo, the little Limbo guy.
It is kind of, yeah, because it's silhouetted, you know, because you can kind of see through the character somewhat, and that's intentional. You want that silhouetted black characters forward so that you can have the colors in the back recede, and so that's how you unlock elements, though. You change the background color. Now, it sounds pretty simple. It's like, okay, Brian, it's a simple puzzler. You just head on out, and you got to figure it out. You stop, and you think really hard. You scratch your head and go, okay, if I turn this green, then the blue blocks will look like this. No, there's a lot of that, but there's also a lot of, oh, my gosh, they want me to platform jump between these obstacles while changing the color wheel at the same time.
Yeah.
So you got to be really fast, because what you do is, with the right stick, in my case, you aim it towards the color that you want, which will be on a color wheel that will show up, and everything slows down slightly. It doesn't stop, but it slows down when you're doing the color picking. Mm. So sometimes you have to run, jump blind faith, throw the color that it's going to be, and then stick it and land it. And
oh,
so
wow.
It gets quite intense. So it's more just a puzzler to me. And the adventure part's fun because it is nice trying to, once you get, you know, past a certain area, Mr. Gray will show up again. He's like in this, he's like this, got this Dementor kind of outfit on. He's like, Mr. Gray. And he's like, I forgot about that. Dreamcatcher. That one is his name? Mr. Gray?
Is that his
Mr.
name?
Mr. Gray? Yeah, I think that was.
Oh, all right.
Catch that. Let me think about that for a minute. Let me see if that's impactful. No, it's not. All right. So, had to process it.
No, I understand. But, I understand.
But I've really enjoyed this game. It's a lot of fun, very inexpensive. It's, you know, it's like a 4 or 5 hour game if you go to how long to beat. So, you know, you're going to get your $5 worth for sure. But it's definitely a tempo changer, because I've been playing a lot of other games, and this game just kind of, it sets its own tempo and speed. So it kind of pulls you in because of that. And I really dig the music in some ways, and in some ways it's kind of distracting. Mm. There's a couple of songs that have beats that kind of remind me of popular songs like that you hear on the radio, and I'm like, it's just a little bit off. It's like, oh, like, is that Under Pressure? That sounds a little bit like, no, it's not. Mm. But this developer is Fiddlesticks, and I've enjoyed this. I would like to see what else they got. This game's been out since like 2016. And Hugh is the only thing I've seen by these particular guys, but I'd like to see him do something else.
And what's their, what store did you get this? Where'd you get this?
I got this. I played this on the Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, right, Game Pass.
On the Xbox. I was told that it is not on the PC version of the Xbox Game Pass, but Steam, $3.74. Most places it's under $5.
Unrelated Things calls it Rainbow Limbo.
Rainbow Limbo. I can see that.
I can totally see that. Nice call.
Oh yeah.
Nice call. All right, we'll check that one out. Also, you're talking about Top Run. Tell me this retro pixel thing. What is this?
Well, let me answer Free Rangers in the chat room. Free Rangers says, so Hugh wouldn't be playable by colorblind players. Actually,
question. What is the deal with that?
They actually did. They designed the game. They thought about this, and they designed the game in such a way that it would be playable by colorblind individuals. Oh. So it's actually built into that. And by the way, it was called Impossible Colors. Thank you, chat room.
Yeah.
And that was Impossible Colors.
We always like to say the name twice.
The voice narration's fun. The art style is fine. It's fun. And I enjoyed it. I'm glad I played it.
All right. Nice. Hugh, catch it.
Hugh. So Top Run, retro pixel adventure. Mm. While I was out and about on my 4th of July week and vacation, I had to get something on the go. So I was on my iPhone and I was like, let me see what we got. I'm feeling very retro this week with the release of the Stranger Things Season 3. So they had something called Top Run. That is a play on the idea of Top Gun, I believe, and it's an endless runner with some platforming going on. It is a pixel game, so it looks very retro. It's got all the little, it's kind of like a very colorful Pitfall, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Pitfall 2.
Yeah. Mm.
So, got all kinds of neons and stuff. It's totally radical. Everything is just, this thing is just steeped in the 80s. Neon glow and verbiage. Don't drop your floppies or something, I think. But I think that's what it was. You gotta do the floppies are actually referring to floppy disk. And you can shoot as you run, and you can shoot the bad guys who are in your way.
You're picking up floppies? Is that what I'm seeing rotating, that you're picking up kind of Pac-Man style? Is that what those are?
There are. No. Those are actually pixels. Don't get the pixels confused with the floppies.
Okay, there it
is. So you pick up the pixels. That gives you the ability to purchase things. This game is free, sort of. As free as in you can free and play, and there's ads, which aren't too intrusive, but they do have a lot of microtransactions that you can kind of get away with. That you can get rid of the ads, I think, for like a few bucks. You can get different outfits for like 99 cents. You could certainly spend a lot of money on this game, but you don't have to. You don't have to. Like I said, the ads aren't too disruptive. I've certainly had much worse than that. They usually come in between the games before you start next level, and they're very kind, you know, and related ads. It's one of the better ad experiences I've had. But back to the game. You're always running with your dog friend, which apparently you can change to other pets for, you know, a few cents. Now, if you decide that you want to try something, like I wanted to try my character, I wanted him to wear a shark outfit that I saw in their store, but I didn't know if I wanted to pay the 99 cents for it. You can try it out for two turns if you watch a quick ad, which I did. Mm. And so you get an opportunity to do a lot of things with just a little bit of advertisement. I think they've done this one right, but it's a lot of fun. It's an endless runner if you like those things, but it's not like it is a left or right kind of platformer runner.
Yeah. It's an endless runner. Yeah. You know what you're getting into if you're getting one of those.
Yeah, you know what you're getting into. But it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of power-ups. There's a lot going on. It is very much steeped in the 80s. So, I recommend it.
I like the 80s. That was my favorite decade.
Yeah. Only thing I didn't like about it,
Only
thing I didn't like, Scott, is I used my screen recorder on my iOS to capture it, and I forgot to turn off the music.
Oh.
So I posted my gameplay up to YouTube. There's a copyright, not strike, but it was a copyright claim.
So wait, are they whose music are they using? What's the music on here?
It was there. I guess they must have licensed the music from a independent artist because it wasn't like no big name or nothing. It was just an independent artist who did some interesting music, and he's even credited, or the person is credited in the game. Actually, it even shows, like, when it pops up, it tells you, you know, who's playing and what song is playing, and that. It's just one of those frustrating things that I had a really good run.
Yeah.
Really good run, Scott. I mean, I had an amazing blockbuster run.
I believe you.
Yeah. And I had to dump the whole thing.
Well, the world's never going to see it. We'll never know.
They're never going to see it. And so I had to post the the crap run instead, the one that I'm like, I'm going to stupid record this stupid thing again, stupid. Turn the music off before I start.
Yep. You don't want the crap runs, I can tell you that.
No, you don't want the crap runs.
No.
I get the crap runs way too often.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, that means time for this.
It's me, Mario.
All right, we're going to do Guess My Game. Guess My Game. That's where we play a sound clip to each other. Neither of us has any idea of what we brought. It can be a game from any era or time period or device or whatever. And we usually start with me. I will begin. Let's see if you can figure out what this is. Here you go.
Give it to me.
I'll give you a hint. It's one of my favorite vector games of the 80s.
It sounds like Atari, but not Atari home console.
I can tell you it's definitely Atari, and it's definitely arcade, not home. Not 2600.
Yeah, it's not the home console. That chip is much more, got a lot warmer. It's a lot warmer chip.
Yeah.
But it's still their sound chip.
Yep. Sorry, chat room has no idea yet.
Right.
And Space Invaders is not vector.
It sounds like a lot of shooters, but if it was like Space Invaders, you would hear a lot more of. But does it have that?
No, it doesn't have any of that. Plus, I mean, it is absolutely vector, and those games like Missile Command, Defender,
right?
Those are not vector games. Choplifter, not vector. Yeah, chat room, neither is Space Invaders, neither is Zaxxon.
I forgot that you did say vector. You're right.
Yeah.
So ooh. Give me one more hit.
Ooh,
give
Tally,
me
more hit. Tally says Assassin's Creed Vector. I would play that. I would say that. Here, I'll give you a little more taste of it. I'll give him one more shot.
More
Here's the thing. It's gonna be rare.
Battle Zone or something.
Definitely not Battle Zone.
Feels like that though, but not. I don't know. That's a good one.
It's not Tempest. Tempest is not it. Centipede is not Vector. Luke, having to correct everybody on what Vector means.
Vector's just little lines.
So, not Star Castle. Here's your answer. And you're going to all be bugged when you hear it. The game is called... Whoops, my brain just went dead. Sorry. Gravatar.
Gravatar.
Do you remember Gravatar? Okay. It was awesome.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It was my favorite of the Vector Atari games, and I would play Gravatar right now if I had it, because Gravatar is badass. And if you're at home going, I don't know what that is, go look up Gravatar, get that thing somehow, freaking emulate it, do whatever you got to do, because Gravatar is badass.
My favorite vector was the Star Wars X-Wing game.
That
was awesome.
Not X-Wing.
It wasn't X-Wing, but it was basically the X-Wing game. But I think it was called Star Wars, wasn't it? Star Wars.
It was just called Star Wars, was it? Vector. The big sit-down model, right?
I mean, yeah, I think it was just called Star Wars, but I know it by... Maybe it's just called Star Wars. I don't know.
Star Wars Arcade. That's it. Star Wars Arcade. That's it.
Yeah. There you go.
It's a good one. All right. I'm going to play yours and see if I can figure this out. So here's
my answer. No clue.
I'm going to try it out. Oh. This is freaking Dig Dug. Isn't it?
It's a what?
Dig
Dug.
Yeah.
That's right, you get it, but from where? Is it just Dig Dug?
Well, hold on. That's just Dig Dug Atari. That's Dig Dug Arcade, right? Just Arcade.
This is Dig Dug. Okay. It's just Dig Dug. I would have stretched out a little bit.
You were trying to make it go longer. No, yeah, that's unmistakable, that stuff.
I wasn't sure. I knew it would either be an easy guess or it would be one of those ones you'd want to kick yourself in the pants for.
Yeah.
I took a gamble.
No, you could have done Dig Dug 2 and I would have had no idea because I don't remember how that game sounded at all.
Yeah, I thought about that and I was like, let's do it.
Dig Dug 2 is a weird ass piece of game. It was very strange. Is. Just like, I think it's early sequels to these old 80s arcade games were hard to make because people felt like they had to do something totally different and they forgot.
Yeah.
What they needed to do was the same good stuff, but better. So Joust 2 is weird. Dig Dug 2.
I don't know if it's a lie or not, but it certainly feels like they did this in movies for a while where you'd have like a real low budget film that has some moderate video, straight to video success. And then they would call another movie that really wasn't based on the same thing. Mm-hmm. They would call it part two of the first thing. Yep. And so I kind of feel like some of those games were like, we have a really cool game. Well, can you manipulate just a little bit so it seems like Dig Dug?
Mm-hmm. No, it's totally, that's exactly right. And it's not,
call it two.
We had, what was it? Well, even Mario, Super Mario Brothers 2 was not a Mario game. It was this other thing that got taken and then dinked.
Yeah, I think that's what it probably really happens is that we need a sequel. Well, what do we have down the pipe already? It's already being worked on. Let's rebrand it and let's go.
Yeah,
get it out there.
Absolutely. Chat room, I'm going to put in the chat a link to Dig Dug 2 so you can see what that was about.
Oh, yeah, it's a totally different game.
And it's not a good game, is my memory. My memory is it's not good, but I could be wrong.
Well, I agree.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it now. This is... It definitely did not...
I remember seeing it, thinking, this is not Dig Dug.
Well, plus it's up, it's above ground. It makes no sense. You're supposed to be digging, right. Doug. Where's Doug? Go digging.
Come on, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
It
was more like... what was the game where you'd cordon off areas with a line and it would kill that area? What was that called? That's basically what they made. What was that called? Not Clax.
No, I know what he's talking about, though. We used to play it on paper because you had a little paper grid.
Yeah.
Corner it off. And,
what was that called? Quix, that was it.
Quix, that's it.
Yeah, lockout, the same idea. That's what Dig Dug 2 was, and that's dumb. That's not your mechanic. Your mechanic is you're underground and you're blowing up shit. What are you doing?
Right.
You're not digging anything here, Doug.
Take that, 80s.
Yeah, it's not good. All right. Well, there's that. Now there's this. I'm going to do a email from a listener. This is Andrew is his name. He's from Arvada, Colorado. And he says the following.
Andrew.
He says, I have a Nintendo Switch accessory recommendation for you guys. According to the internets, a lot of people experience drift on their Joy-Con thumbsticks within 12 to 18 months of usage. You have any of that? You getting any drift?
No, but maybe I haven't used mine enough.
I mean, I checked mine, and so far I don't have any drift. But if you're using the
Joy-Cons, that's a lie. I did notice this recently. It was on the right side, and I thought maybe it was just my imagination.
Well, your kids use it a lot, right? You get a lot of usage on that.
Yeah.
Well, that's why. So here's the deal. Normally, you'd have to go buy two new Joy-Cons. It's very expensive. It's like $70 to get the two of them. So here's what you did, or what he did. Recommendation is not buy the new Joy-Cons. Amazon sells a $15 analog stick replacement kit to replace both Joy-Con thumbsticks. The kit has everything you need, including a properly sized screwdriver to take the controllers apart. The only requirement is about 10 to 15 minutes of your time. And I think you're technically breaking warranty, but that's okay.
At this point,
that's what you probably knew that going in. But anyway, he says, I just swapped out the right analog stick on each of my Joy-Con sets and it worked like a charm. Both Joy-Cons now function as new. Gave us a link to it. It's called the VEANIC, VEANIC 2-Pack 3D Replacement.
2-Pack. I'm looking at it right now as $15.
Yeah, it's 15 freaking bucks, dude.
$15.
It's nothing.
It's
nothing.
Actually, I think it's the left stick that's a little bit loose, I think.
Well, they'll have
that,
too.
I think I noticed that. I didn't notice it too much because I've been playing a couple of games, Robonauts and another game, so I wasn't using that particular stick a lot. Maybe it was Burnstar. But it seemed like I did play another game, and it was like, it was messing up with me.
I bet you these guys have, yep, they do. Let's see, they've got a VEANIC replacement analog stick for Joy-Cons. They have one for... I thought they had one for Microsoft. They don't. Okay, interesting. They make a bunch of stuff, but this one's got a really good review. People like it, so there you go.
Yeah, they do. Sold a lot of them. I like it. Good tip.
Yeah, they should make stuff for PlayStation and everybody else. I guess they don't, though.
Oh, well. Yeah, my place. Out of all of the controllers I've had, I have never had an Xbox One controller go bad, and I've had three of those.
Charm's asking, what is the site? It's Amazon is where you want to go.
Amazon.
Yeah.
And I've had no trouble except for a little bit of drift, apparently, that I was not aware about on the Switch. But I have went through at least two. I have thrown two PS4 controllers away.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yeah. In the trash. In the trash.
I've not done that.
And I spent on one of them, I spent close to $30 trying to fix.
Oh my Lord. I've never thrown anything in the trash before, but.
Oh, and it was an angry throwaway too.
My biggest problem with PS4 controllers is that they, the rubber that contains the sticks wears off.
Right.
And that freaking sucks.
Yeah, they tore, mine tore. I replaced both the tops on those because they always tear off.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad. By the way, Gravatar, a little bit of background information I found out. 1982 was when it was made. Mm. And so this is post, I want to say this is after Asteroids, so this is not a pre-Asteroids thing. It also had color and some other stuff. Anyway, they had upright cabinets and cocktail cabinets. Let's see. And I guess that's it. That's all you'd want to know. But it's an awesome, awesome, awesome arcade game. That makes me want to play it right freaking now.
Luke Skywalker in the chat room saying, never throw those away. You might use those as parts to fix something else on a controller. You don't understand the anger.
You don't understand the anger that was in my heart. When he's mad like that, forget it.
I don't get mad. I am a slow boil.
Yeah.
But when I get there, oh.
You're bubbling at the top.
Oh. It was not good.
Well, all right. Good luck, everybody, with your problems with the Joy-Cons. Hopefully you can find something cool like this to get it fixed. And if you'd like to send us your own emails in, you can. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Be like Andrew from Arvada and send us an email. You can also leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. You can find us on the web at frogpants.com/BOOP. You can also find us on Twitter at boopshow. You can find Brian at the Brian Dunaway. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And you can find the show on Reddit at boopshow.reddit.com. I think it's going to do it. Brian, any final any words of wisdom before we go?
Yeah, I'm going to pimp my own ride. Check me out at twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. I am this close to getting my first affiliate check. I need like $9. $9.
Yeah.
It's not really about the getting the money. It's just about the principle. Been working towards the first check for about a year and a half now. And it's very small money.
Let's get you there, man.
I want it. I want just a little bit. Yeah.
I want. Let's get you there.
Give it to myself.
I think getting you there would be the good thing to do. So let's all help Brian get there to get there. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for joining us. No game giveaways after the show. I have an appointment that I have to run to, so I'm not going to be here.
No.
I know that sucks, but we'll be doing it next week again. So don't worry. For me, for Brian, for all of you, we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.